Hey friends, before we get started, I wanted to let you know that the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast is fueled by Riverside. Now, Riverside is my podcasting and now my YouTube video recording studio of choice, and they make it super easy to record remote podcasts and video interviews that look and sound like they are recorded in a million-dollar studio. Now, I started using Riverside because the sound quality was incredibly awful with Zoom, and sometimes myself or my guests would have really bad internet connections. And I found a great solution with Riverside because unlike other platforms that save your recordings directly to your cloud, Riverside saves it on your device first. And this helps maintain recording quality regardless of internet connection, which I love. So after years of recording with Zoom, I am so happy I made the switch to Riverside because the quality of my audio sounds so much better. And now I can also create AI-generated show notes with a click of a button. I can create clips for Reels and YouTube Shorts and for Instagram stories. I can also create a transcription of my podcast or even YouTube video and rewrite it for blogging purposes. The fact that I can streamline my podcast recording process and YouTube content creation process means the world to my systems and workflow love and heart. Now, if you are ready to have a seamless podcast or YouTube experience with Riverside, head on over to the show notes after listening to this podcast to snag my affiliate link and get Riverside for as low as $15 a month. So Dubsado is also another company that fuels the Systems and Workflow Magic brand on a daily basis. If you are new to owning your own business, you'll quickly discover that having a great CRM tool, which is a customer relationship management tool, is an essential component to running the back end of your business, especially if you're working one-on-one with clients. Dubsado's mission is to help you automate your work, grow your business, and get back your time with powerful workflows. Now, there are tons of CRM tools out there, and it's hard to know who to trust. But what I love most about Dubsado are the people behind the business, because they go above and beyond with customer support because they want you to run your business seamlessly. Yes, even as a small business owner. So if you are looking for a CRM tool that will not only house your workflows, invoices, questionnaires, contact forms, proposals, and so much more, you can get started with Dubsado if you go to the show notes, and you can get a special code for 30% off your monthly or yearly subscription when you use my code DollyDeLongEducation, all one word, at checkout. This is the easiest yes for your business because Dubsado will work for you while you are away from your desk. Again, head on over to the show notes and use code DollyDeLongEducation at checkout to snag 30% off your yearly or monthly subscription. Welcome to the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast, where I help entrepreneurs go from scattered to streamlined in their creative businesses. I'm your host, Dolly DeLong, a wife, a mom, and a photographer turned systems educator. Join me every week as we have conversations centered around creating tactical workflows and automations in your business. Now, let's make some strategic workflow magic. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast. I am your systems and workflow BFF and guide, Dolly DeLong. And today I am thrilled to introduce to the world my amazing, best kept secret of my business, my bookkeeper, Anna Marie Knapp. Now, a little personal story about Anna Marie. I have known her for quite some time now. I've been photographing her family since I don't even know when, since her daughter was a newborn. So for at least like 6 to 7 years. And little did I know that one day, one of my favorite clients, I mean this, one of my favorite clients would become my financial expert. And that, I want to remind everybody, is the power of personal connection with friends, because you never know where your business and your lives may intertwine. But I'm just going to welcome Anna Marie on the podcast and let her do an official bio about herself. So welcome, Anna Marie. Do you mind sharing a little bit about yourself, your business, and why you started bookkeeping?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Like Dolly said, I feel like we've known each other 7 or 8 years by this point, working together, and then working together, taking our family photos. And she's wonderful. Shout out. So any local Thanks. Or I guess national, wherever, she'll fly to you.
Yes.
Yeah. So a little bit about me education wise. I have an MBA. I'm finishing an accounting certificate. I've got QuickBooks certificates, some other bookkeeping certificates, that kind of thing. So a lot of different types of education certifications, all the things. So finance and accounting is actually like a career change for me, a second career. So I started really in the like event music concert production world out of school. So I first went into, I worked for a company called Yamaha Entertainment Group and did artist relations and concert production, scheduling and logistics, all kinds of things with artists. That was my like cool young person job before I had kids kind of job that nobody with children should do a job like that. It was a lot, but it was awesome. Great experience. And then went to a local university where I still work full time and started in the event office and did that's where we met probably yes. when I was in the event office. Yeah.
Yes.
And did event planning and logistics, same type of deal. And then eventually moved into just a scheduling role. So I helped with the systems and workflow of, to use the lingo, to centralize scheduling for events and things like that. And then also helped open a boutique hotel on campus. That was an interesting experience. And then also helped with budgeting. So that was my first foray into the finance accounting world. So about 7 or 8 years ago, my boss asked me to help oversee all of the budgets there. So that's what got me into it. And I just several years later was like, this is the favorite part of my job. And people were like, that you enjoy that? And I do.
Yes.
So I get excited to do my taxes. I get excited to pull up our personal budget and play with it every month. So most people, their eyes glaze over and yes. they don't want anything to do with that. I realized I have a skill set that a lot of people don't have and don't enjoy. So a couple years ago, still at the university, I was asked to move into the finance office. And so there I oversee all of our real estate and rental properties and then all of the finance accounting, the back end stuff that goes along with having we have 90-ish properties or so that I help with, which is a lot. And that's fun and also interesting. And then more recently, I've been asked to help with the budget process as a whole for the university. And that's also fun and helping with the back end and the systems and things there, too. We just implemented a big new budget software that's really exciting. So that's great and exciting and wonderful. So that's my full-time day job. And then several years ago, I decided I really want to like help and learn more about small businesses also. So I get this in my full-time job, a lot of just different kind of work that I'm not going to learn about the small business aspect where I'm at. So I decided to start a bookkeeping business and I've enjoyed it more than I thought I would. And I love working with clients like you, Dolly, and helping
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I'm the best, everyone. Yeah, I'm the best
my
client.
Favorite. Oh, wait, don't.
I'm just kidding.
She's awesome. All of my clients, I have had the best clients. I'm so fortunate. I hear stories of bookkeepers having to fire clients and stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm so lucky. I have such great clients. But I wanted to get like more grassroots and just help the small business owner who's just like, I'm by myself. I have no mm-hmm. support. Or I might have a CPA that I talk to once a year, but I need like ongoing kind of help with my finances. And so I really enjoy helping them understand how to read their financial statements and how to budget and how to analyze what they're looking at and how to forecast and that kind of thing. And so I've really enjoyed doing that. And I love all of my clients. They're all wonderful. And it's called Will and Abby Bookkeeping after my kids, William and Abigail. That's where I came up with that. So that's a little bit about me. My natural fun fact is that I'm from Alaska. That's fun. We go back twice a year. And then we recently visited Hawaii. So now I've been to the 49th and 50th states, which I think is pretty neat.
Oh, wow. So you've been to all 50 states?
No, I've been to the 49th and 50th.
Oh, gosh.
No, I wish I've been to all. I've maybe been to half yes. at this point. But, wow. but someone was like, your kids have been to the 49th and 50th states. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
So that is really cool.
So.
Wow. Well, Anna Marie, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast. And I know this is your very first podcast ever, so I'm honored it's on this podcast because I know my listeners are going to love you. I talk about you all the time to the listeners. And also, two other business owners who DM me and they're like, who is your bookkeeper? And I just sell you all the time. So I love you. You've helped my business out so much. So listeners, since traditionally this full disclosure, Anna Marie and I are recording this on tax day. Like it's tax day today. And this episode, I know it's going to air at the end of the traditional tax season. I say that in air quotes. And I thought it would be fun to say, again, I think it's fun. You may not think it's fun, listener, but it would be a fun episode to revisit just a financial related episode, because I know that we are still in quarter two, and a lot of us small business owners are assessing or maybe not assessing our own budgets and assessing or not assessing how we're doing financially. Maybe your head is in the sand, listener. And so it's now time to bring your head up and actually start learning how to assess. So I know that this year has been a hard year for a lot of small business owners. And hard can sometimes equal us not really looking at the numbers of our own business, because we might be in panic mode and desperation mode, trying to figure out how to make money. So let's just have a come to Jesus talk about money. And I know Anna Marie will be very kind about it, because she's very kind to me, you all, because she's been putting up with me for over a year now. So I'm very grateful for her. She's going to be leading us through some basics of what we should have a pulse on when it comes to budgeting.
The first thing I want to just touch on is financial health. I would say to everybody, it's just a reminder that we all talk about physical health, we talk about our mental health, but we don't very often talk about our financial health. And I think it's because we're all just scared about it, and a lot of us don't understand it. And we see numbers and we see financial statements, and it just, our eyes glaze over. We're just like, I'm just not going to deal with it until today, April 15th, when I have to file my taxes. So most personally, and in a small business, a lot of people just put it off and don't do anything, right? But a reminder is, your financial health can affect those other areas of your health. So it can affect you physically and mentally, of course, too. So I think it's really important to care for it and manage it, especially as a small business owner. So one important aspect, and my favorite thing in the financial world, is budgeting. Again, it's what I do mostly full-time in my full-time job. And then I love helping small business owners like you, Dolly, do your budget. So budgeting. So there's a couple types of financial health to think about. So one is reactive thinking of financial. So that would be like looking at your financial statements, reconciling your bank account, your credit cards every month, things like that. Those are reactive because everything's already happened. It's important, and you need to know what's going on, and you need to make sure things are done correctly and you have correct financial statements and things like that. But it's not proactive. So budgeting is a tool in your financial toolbox that is proactive. And I would think of it like a roadmap. So it's you sitting down and thinking, where do I want my business to be? Usually a budget's done for a year out, but you can do farther out, or you can use it as a tool to forecast also. So, but think of it as a proactive tool in your toolbox. Budgets are fluid, so you don't have to make it and never look at it again. I know like Dolly and I with yours, we've looked at it and adjusted it as time has gone on.
Have you heard about my new favorite marketing system, Engie? Engie is marketing software for small business owners who have to do their own marketing but aren't marketing experts, which is most of us, right? It has everything you need to find clarity about your marketing and get consistent with it, because not only can you create a marketing strategy customized to your business in minutes, you also get the tools you need to then do your marketing strategy with tons of recommendations and guidance. It's like having a marketing assistant in your pocket, and I love it. So if you've been looking for a way to feel confident and organized about the precious time you spend working on your marketing, you should definitely try Engie out. Go to www.engie.co, that's E-N-J-I, to learn more, and click on the link in the show notes if you want to get 15% off of your first 2 months after your free trial. With Engie, you can totally begin a marketing system that works for you.
So some budgeting tips is what I'm going to talk about here. So here's what I would suggest is most small businesses start.
Can I say something yes. really quick? Can
yes.
I say something really? I love, Anna Marie, that you stated, look at it as like a type of health. I will share this with listeners. If you guys have been OG listeners of the podcast, you know that my husband, Ty, came on, one of the only men who has ever been on the podcast, because it's normally like I'm interviewing other female business owners, but we both shared our own personal money journey with the listeners. I don't know this, obviously, this Anna Marie, because you deal with my numbers, that we paid off all of, I'm not going to say our student loans, I'm going to say my student loans. They became his when we got married, and we paid that off in 19 months. But leading up to that point for me, I had a lot of mental stress, like in the back of my head. And I tend to deal with stress. I joke around about everything. And so whenever I was stressed out about money, I would just push it off and I would fill myself with some nonsense like comedy or joke. Like, some of you might be thinking, well, it's better than alcohol and drugs, Dolly. But yeah, but also I wasn't really based in reality. Like, I would just joke my way through things. I would just make a joke about it. I'd be like, oh, I guess I'll be paying this when I'm in a nursing home or whatever. Like,
your kids will pay for it.
Yeah, my kids will pay for it. But it was really, I noticed a very sharp contrast between before and after. So before, leading up to having dread of paying off my student loans, having dread of not really understanding money, it was taking a toll on me in really weird ways. And then afterwards, after that financial burden came off of my chest, I was like, wow, I can dream again. And I wasn't as anxious all the time. So it's really true, listeners. I'm trying to bring this in to give you a real life example. It really is true. Like, when you have something that's so burdened on your chest, it does impact like different facets of your health. And I did not recognize that. It just came out with like dark humor, and it might come out in different ways and unhealthy ways. So just please be fully aware of that. And I just want to point that out. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. And I'll say this too. I think every single one of my clients, when I first started working with them, I think every one of them said to me, I'm embarrassed for you to look at my books. And I was always like, you shouldn't be embarrassed. You shouldn't be stressed out, because one, most small business owners have no financial background. Why would you? I've gone to hours of classes, hours and hours of certification things. So I should know how to do this, and a small business owner may not. So I would say also, don't be embarrassed if you don't understand all of it, because there's no way you're going to. And just learn and take it off with little chunks at a time of learning different things, especially if you don't have a bookkeeper or a CPA you work with a lot. Yes, just learn. Just always be willing to learn. And yeah. Finances are the same thing.
Yes, so, exactly. Thanks for letting me I just wanted to share with the listeners, like, it comes out in different ways. So
right.
Anyways. Mm-hmm. Back to budgeting.
So here are, some budgeting tips for you. So I always say, like, take some time. And Dolly and I did this when we did her first budget last fall, is take some time. And if somebody's helping you, great, meet with them. If not, just take yourself on a mini retreat, or you have a business, let your business pay for you to go somewhere for half a day. And just start with all of your prior year expenses. So actually, I want to say this first. Just keep it simple. You don't have to have some fancy, shiny app to do this. You don't have to have some pretty graphs or whatever. Just literally make a list of what you are spending and why and with who. And again, it does not have to be fancy. If you use a QuickBooks or Xero or some other kind of online software, you can probably just pull a report. You definitely can in QuickBooks, but almost any of them, you can just pull a report from all your expenses that details it out. This is a quick tip. If you do use a QuickBooks, you're doing it on your own, put in a vendor name for each expense, because that way you can really easily sum up how much you're spending with each vendor. But just sit down and make your list and just think about, why am I spending what I'm spending with each of these vendors? is there anything I can reduce? Is there something I don't need? Do you really need everything on your list? Can you consolidate some things into one?
This is so hard, everyone.
I know, it's hard. Yes. And we do this, I do this in my full-time job with big budgets, and I do it with small business owners, and I do it personally, and it's hard to sit down and think about that. Especially, I feel like for small business owners, because what you're spending really is money out of your literal pocket for your family or yourself or whatever. So it really is important. But at the same time, it's also important to spend money. You got to spend money to make money, right? So, but you want to have what you're spending be quality dollars and not just money out the door. So take what you've got. If you've got a couple years of data, that's helpful too, to just see year over year what you've been spending and why, and just make your list. And just make your list for next year of what I think I'm going to spend with each vendor and start there. And then do the same with your revenue. So again, you don't need anything fancy. Just make a list that shows what you do. Some businesses are pretty simple and you do one thing and you know exactly what it is and how much it is. Or you've got several different sources of revenue coming in. But I would say get creative, and there's probably sources you haven't thought of. And like you said, Dolly, I know a lot of businesses have been it seems to be getting harder and harder sometimes to keep the money going in while all the money keeps flowing out with inflation and whatnot. So, but get creative. There's probably things you haven't thought of. Think about all sources of income. So I'll brag on Dolly's bank. Her bank gives great interest. So look at a bank that, or an investment that you can put some of your money into that would bring in some interest or whatnot. So, but again, compare your year over year data and then think about your market and what you are charging compared to others in your market. Think about inflation, how you need to adjust your prices for what you're charging, and think about those extra costs, including taxes and things like that. But again, just make your to lists, okay? Mm-hmm. And then put it all together. So you just put in at the top what you're going to bring in, you put in at the bottom what your expenses are, and there's your budget. So again, it doesn't have to be complicated. I think there's a lot of resources out there and apps and all of those things. And I call it shiny app syndrome. And I do it too, where I'm like, ooh, there's an app that can do that for me. And a lot of times you just don't need it. Or I also think sometimes sitting down and actually writing it all down or typing it all in is better, because it makes you actually think about each line item that you're putting in.
That's true. Also, I want to remind listeners, like, you might have a quote unquote month where you feel like you're bringing in so much money because a lot of your subscriptions are yearly or quarterly based. So keep your subscriptions in mind as well. Like, I have a lot of my subscriptions come out yearly. And so January is like when those subscriptions come out, and I'm like, I'm poor. I'm so poor.
We haven't even started yet.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then by February, I'm fine. But I want to remind everyone that it's going to look very, like, if you are a business owner who, I don't know, like, your income comes in different seasons. Like me, for example, my income is very seasonal. One side of my business is I do photography, family photography. And so that is incredibly seasonal. And then the education side is pretty predictive, almost to that point. So I'm trying to like balance it all out. But there are months that I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm spending more than I'm making. Oh my goodness, it's just so scary. So these budget like tips have been so far really helpful for me working with you, Anna Marie.
Yeah, right. And you can do it different ways. You can literally budget by month, like you were saying, especially if you're a smaller business, that might be easier to put that in like that. Or you can just do it by year and then compare it year over year. So basically, once you have your budget and you've made it, then once you start, which most of all small business owners are on a calendar year. So once you start in January, then at the end of your month, just look at your income statement if you're using a QuickBooks or something, or look at what if you're just keeping track of it yourself, and then put it next to your budget what your actuals are. And that way you can compare and see, it's called the variance between your budget and your actuals. And it'll just help you keep track and see where you are and what's, you know, how it's going and maybe where you need to adjust. One other tip, which it's not so much a tip, it's actually, you're really supposed to be doing this anyway for IRS, but keep your receipts, not just because the IRS could possibly audit you, but it's actually a really good way to keep track of expenses because it forces you, if it's like, oh, I got to take a picture of that, I might not spend the $5 or $10 or whatever it is on that thing. And I've had clients say that it helps them to like physically have to do something with a receipt. It makes them maybe not even spend the money. So wow. It could be a deterrent to spending money sometimes. But it also just helps. It's another reminder, a physical reminder of, oh yeah, I'm spending money and maybe I need to be mindful of it. Or if you have a bookkeeper like me that bothers you to say, hey, I need all your receipts.
Yeah. Full disclosure, you all, Anna Marie has been friendly reminders to me, and I'm finally uploading them. Yay. Today, I've been uploading them. I don't know if you noticed that, yes. I've been working on it.
But it does help you to just keep track. And it can also just make sure that you're putting in the correct expense amount and that kind of thing. So like I said earlier, a budget is fluid. So I've had people say, especially where I work full time, they're like, once it's made, is it like, that's it forever? It's, no, it's called a revision. And especially a small business owner, it's your budget. I know even with Dolly, I think in February, we went in and adjusted some things. And actually tonight I went in and adjusted some things after you told me. I think I would say for a small business owner, monthly, look at it. And you might need to revise, or you might have a big revenue generating month that you maybe weren't expecting. So now I'm going to revise that upwards. So things change, circumstances change, or things change and it's not great. So now I'm going to revise it, try to see where I can save money throughout the year kind of deal.
Yeah.
So it's just really important to look at it monthly and see where you are, what trends are happening. And then if you do this year over year, you'll get to where it doesn't even take you that much time because you're going to flow and you've been doing it and you're understanding like your plan. And then once you're used to, that's when you can start getting also into forecasting. I, for my business, make 3-4 year budgets out just so I can do some goal planning, knowing those are fluid and they're going to change as time goes on and personal things happen and whatnot. But just helps me think about, what do I plan to bring in? What am I planning to spend? And helps me plan for just my business goals and what I'm wanting to do. Because like I said earlier, sometimes I need to spend some more money if I'm wanting to do this thing that could possibly generate more income. Those are things to really think about as well.
Love that.
Yeah. Ultimately, I would just say making a financial plan with a budget and trying to stick to it is just, again, very important for your financial health. It will help you, again, understand what's going on with your business and why. If you do not use a online software, you can ultimately take a budget with your actuals, can become an income statement. It's not all the way, but that's something you can also use for your taxes at the end of the year too. So it's helpful in a lot of different ways and helps you with goal planning and forecasting and things like that. Yeah.
Wow. This was a lot of great information. Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, how did you feel about doing the budgeting process?
Oh, man. I will not lie. I will not make this all rainbows and butterflies for listeners. Y'all, I was terrified out of my mind when Anna Marie started working with me. I was like, oh, great. She's going to see like my spending habits. She's going to see like my slower months and my higher months and just like how scattered I am. Because I feel like I've always felt like I'm really organized, but then when I started looking at the numbers, I'm like, I am not as organized as I assumed I was. And so it was very humble, eating humble pie for me. But you were very kind. You've always been so kind to me, working with me and creating a budget with me, making it tangible for me. I mean, there's still things that I'm just like wrapping my head around, but, and it's hard. It's like hard. It's a hard habit to break. So I want listeners to hear me like, I'm still working through this, and it's really good to have a roadmap and guidance and to hold my feet to the fire, because there's some big things I want to do with this business. It's not like I want to take over the world. Don't hear me say that. I'm just like, I have some personal goals I want to meet to impact my family and impact both of my sons' futures. So it's been a good learning process for me. And because it's been a good learning process for me, other people have been seeing that, including my husband, Ty, always comments like how much he appreciates you being in my life and like how much he like appreciates that I am now more fully aware of more numbers in my business. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so that we've had a great experience working together. But like I said, you don't have to have a bookkeeper to help you with budgeting, but it's helpful also, like you said, I think to have somebody in your life, whether it's a bookkeeper or a spouse or somebody else who is also looking at your numbers. Because I also see small business owners come to me and nobody's ever looked at it with them. Yeah. Other than, again, CPAs are wonderful, but other than a CPA who does their taxes one time a year, and they're not there to, they're there to get your taxes done usually. Yeah. And that's what you're paying them for, right? But I think it's very helpful to have some kind of support system and somebody in your life that will help you think through, look through, have an objective opinion about what's going on. Because I love you, Dolly, but ultimately, if your business failed, it doesn't affect me, right?
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
But so that's why I think it's good to have somebody who's not as personally involved with what's going on and can help you see a bigger picture. Because again, for a small business owner, especially, what you're bringing in affects, like you said, what you want to do for your boys, right?
Yeah.
So that's very personal. Whereas, you know, where I work full time, it's different because at the end of the day, we could leave and find another job, right? But it's my personal business. That's my paycheck and, mm-hmm. you know, how I'm feeding my family kind of deals. I think it's important and it's nice to have some kind of support system. And also while you're budgeting, if you have someone you can take on your retreat with you to help look through your expenses and revenue, that's always fun too. Or go to lunch. Dolly and I went to lunch. That was great. Yeah, so.
That was a lot of fun. And if you have a good bookkeeper, good, like you were saying, like a support financial, I almost said emotional support, financial
and,
support.
Yes, financial,
yeah, emotional support. Well, you could eat for hours. That's, I feel like that's what we did, or at least that's how Ty felt. Cause he was like, where are you? You need to come back home and take care of the boys.
Exactly. Yes. Well, we will have more tips from our money class. I think that's what we're calling that, right?
Yeah.
Our money class. And also, if you don't have, like I say, you don't need anything fancy, but we do have budget templates that are easy to use. Like I said, I've seen a lot out there. These aren't the only ones out there, but I tried to make mine, I know Dolly's is too, simple to use and not so flashy and so much that it's like, I don't even know where to start with this, because it doesn't need to be like that ultimately. So your finances don't have to be this crazy ball of things that you don't understand, right? So a lot of times it's just sitting down and looking at the numbers. Again, if you've got support to help you look through them, I think that's even more helpful. But our money class will have even more tips and tricks and advice on for you small business owners.
Yeah, and this money class came out because we found out that Mint is gone. You all, like, Mint announced, it's like a company that helps, that was helping out with businesses, like the financial side of their business. I'm probably butchering what they did, but they're gone now. And so I know a lot of small business owners were like, what should we do? How should we transition to a new app? And so I thought, wouldn't it be nice to have Anna Marie come and teach a money class, especially to my audience? Because I know a lot of us are running the show on our own. We're wearing all the hats. A lot of us are creative minded business owners. There's nothing wrong with being creative minded, but there's that stigma of, you're creative minded, you're not really good at numbers. And so I want to take away that stigma and bring on an expert who will teach like some like really applicable money tips that you can use as a small business owner. So yeah, we have a money masterclass and it's actually live now. We recorded it the day before this episode airs. So this episode is supposed to air on April 28th. And so the money class was already pre-recorded April 27th. So after listening to this podcast, you can get the live training. Just go to the show notes, click on the link, and you'll be sent the live training. And yeah, Anna Marie is going to walk you through some really good tips on just all the tips to apply to your small business.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yay. Excited. Go find the money class. Get the link.
Yeah. And the link, again, will be in the show notes and also in the show notes of this podcast. So we'll make it really easy for you to find. So I hope, listener, that this was a little good money class for you. And as a reminder, again, don't forget to check out the show notes and the corresponding blog post to this podcast episode so you can get all the links mentioned. And if you are interested in working with Anna Marie, if a person wants to work with you or just chat with you, where can they find you and connect with you And if you're taking clients, how can they work with you?
Yes. The easiest is to go to my website. So it's Will Abbey, so WILABY, bookkeeping.com. And I have a contact form that has my information as well.
Awesome. Okay. And you all, I will be sure to link that in the show notes as well. And I'm not joking around. Anna Marie is the best investment I've ever made for my money, for my business. And she helped, I feel like Anna Marie keep me on the straight and narrow with money. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Dolly.
So thank you all again for tuning in. And again, I will see you next week with a brand new systems and workflow related episode. Until then, stay streamlined and magical and organized, you amazing muggle you. And I will talk to you all next week. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast. You can find full show notes from today's episode at www.systemsandworkflowmagic.com/podcast. If you are loving the podcast, I would be so honored if you could subscribe on your favorite podcast player, leave a 5-star review, and share it with another business friend who also needs help with systems, workflows, and SOPs. Be sure to screenshot this episode, share it to your stories, and tag me at Dolly DeLong Education over on Instagram. Until then, go and make some strategic workflow magic.